This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
As summer approaches, it seems everyone is worried about gas prices. And Smokey Jennings Chevrolet in Palmyra has 10 Chevy models offering 30 MPG highway or better. The 2012 Equinox at 32, the all-new Sonic at 35, the Impala at 30, the Cruze at 39, and the all-new 2013 Malibu at 37. At Smokey Jennings, they're on the ground and ready to sell. 35 cars and Equinoxes in stock. Smokey Jennings is ready to show you why their customers rate them in the top 5 for customer satisfaction in the St. Louis region. Smokey Jennings, family-owned and operated since 1946. Chevy runs deep.
How do you measure success? Chances are productive fields, a happy family, and a secure future are key parts in the equation. And just as you depend on yourself to take care of the family and farm, you can depend on Farm Credit to help you with your finance needs. For 96 years, we've been helping farm families and agribusinesses maintain the formula for success. Our experience has helped us develop a wide range of credit and financial products and services that you can use to keep your farm running more efficiently and profitably. Nobody understands the financial needs of farming better than Farm Credit. Whether it's farm real estate loans, operating lines of credit, equipment financing, or crop insurance, Farm Credit has the products and services to meet the needs of today's farming operations. Call Farm Credit today at 1-800-444-FARM or find us online at fcsillinois.com. Farm Credit, providing the financial products farmers want with the service you deserve.
First of all, in our farm news on this Thursday morning, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, July wheat now trading at 620, up 4. September wheat trading at 637 and 3/4, up 3.5. July corn now trading at 590 and 3/4, up 6.25. September corn trading at 520 and 3/4, up 5.75. July soybeans now trading at 1403, down 5.25. August beans trading at 1372, down 5.75. The overnight crude oil market, 14 cents higher at 82.76. Brent crude, 29 cents lower at 96.84. The August gold contract, $1.70 higher at $1,621.10. The U.S. dollar index, 0.042 higher at 82.1. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, ending prices for July wheat, 616 unchanged. For September wheat, 634.25, down a half. And December wheat, 659.5, unchanged. July corn yesterday closed at 592.5, up 8.5. September corn closed at 515, down 11.5. And December corn closed at 510.5, down 12. July soybeans yesterday closed at 1408.25, down 26.75. August beans closed at 1377.75, down 23.5. September beans closed at 1343.25, down 20.75. July soybean meal yesterday closed at 422. That was down $1.10. August meal closed at 410.20, down 98. September meal closed at 401.20, down 66. July soybean oil yesterday closed at 49.10, down 62. August oil closed at 49.27, down 64. September oil closed at 49.46, down 64. July oats yesterday closed at 305.75, up a dime. And September oats closed at 299, up 8.75. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the cash grain report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Wednesday afternoon. Export interest and technical buying at the Board of Trade up to push corn futures higher. Soybean futures were weakened by fund and speculator selling, resulting from an improving extended weather forecast. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mostly 8 to 9 cents stronger at 615 to 630. Soybeans dropped 24 to 25 cents at 1392 to 1411, with the cash wheat bids ending mixed at 594 to 608. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mostly 9 to 12 stronger at 621 to 646. So Soybeans fell 25 to 27 cents at 13.97 to 14.20, and the cash wheat bids ending mixed on Wednesday at 6.03 to 6.26. In the St. Louis area, Country Elevators and Mills reported those corn bids mostly 7 to 9 stronger, ranging from 6.24 to 6.30. Soybeans dropped 21 to 28 cents at 14.06 to 14.11, with the wheat prices ending mixed at 6.03 to 6.16. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted those producer corn bids 12 to 13 cents higher at 6.35 to 6.43. Soybeans fell 28 to 29 cents at 14.19 to 14.28, and the cash wheat bids down 1 to 7 at 5.96 to 6.07. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed those producer corn bids 9 to 17 higher at 640 to 653. These same elevators dropped their soybean prices by 26 to 27 cents with quotations at 1436 to 1437. Soft red winter wheat gained a penny at 626 to 627, and the Milo gained 9 cents on Wednesday at 556 to 557. That is our country grain report for Wednesday. This is Jerry Milberg returning you to WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, June hogs closed at 93.97, up 45. July hogs closed at 93.95, up $1.15. August hogs closed at $92, up a quarter. June cattle closed at 117.10, down 245. August cattle closed at 117.97, down 232. October cattle closed at 122.55, down 212. August feeder cattle yesterday closed at 158.35, down 280. September feeders closed at 159.50, down 272. And October feeders closed at 160.75, down 232. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
Well, this is Joe Massey with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture's closing livestock report for Wednesday. Starting in the Eastern Corn Belt, daily direct afternoon hogs negotiated purchases of bears and gilts on a carcass basis totaled 5,260 head today. They traded $3 and a penny higher from 87.73 to 97.01 with a weighted average of 90.82. And in Illinois today, there was 12,500 head of bears and gilts sold. The primal cutout value for a loin was up 93 pennies today at 89.23. Illinois Direct Slaughter Sow and Boar Report. Sows traded steady with U.S. 1s and 3s under 400 pounds from 42 to 44, 4 to 5 weights from $43 to $47, and over 500 pounds from $45 to $49. Illinois Direct Bears and Gilts traded steady again today from $58 to $62 with a few to $64. The estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection for Wednesday, hogs are at 397,000 on the day. That's down 6,000 from both last week and last year. Cattle are at 126,000 on the day. That's down 1,000 from last week and down 5,000 from the same time last year. The USDA's estimated boxed beef choice cutout values, there was a total of 225 fabricated loads and 70 trim loads. Choice carcasses were up 28 cents at $1.9776. All selects fell 19 pennies at $182.03, leaving the choice select spread at $15.73. The afternoon National Slaughter Cattle Review for Wednesday. Trading in Kansas has been very limited on very light demand. A few early sales have sold at $1.19. In the Texas Panhandle and Northern Plains, trading has been at a standstill. And in the Western Corn Belt, trading has been very limited on very light demand. Negotiated sales confirmed to 7,380 head. At the Shelbyville Livestock Auction on Tuesday, they had 425 head on offer. Compared to last week, all classes of slaughter cattle traded steady. Choice steers from $1.21 to $1.2475, choice Holsteins from $1.11 to $1.1550, and select and choice, choice heifers at $1.2175 to $1.2425. At the Greenville Livestock Auction, the opening report for Wednesday, they estimate 670 head on offer. Compared to last week, again, all slaughter cattle traded steady. Choice steers from $1.19.5 to $1.25, and choice heifers from $1.19 to $1.21. Thank you. This has been Joe Massey, and now back to the main studios of WSMI.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange from yesterday. Butter, $1.45, up 1 3/4. Block cheese, $1.70, up 5. Barrel cheese, $156.50 unchanged. The spot price for Class 3 milk, $15.70. Also, the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for June, $6.24. For July, $5.39. Corn delivered to Scottville for June, $6.21. For July, $5.31. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for June, $14.02. And for July, $13.60. Wheat delivered to Scottville for June, $5.90. For more information, you can call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices once again, corn at Greenfield, $6.24, corn at Scottville, $6.21, beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $14.02, wheat at Scottville, $5.90. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Thursday, brought to you by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company.
Carlinville Truck Equipment is the one name you need to know for truck and trailer repair. Plus, they have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. For help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, see Carlinville Truck Equipment. You can count on Norm Craze and his staff for fast, dependable service. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 1900 North University, Carlinville. Call 854-6706.
Who else provides a partner in crop production like M&M Service Company? The fact is, with your M&M crop specialist working with you throughout the entire year, you have the unique advantage of combining quality seed with expert agronomic knowledge know-how. As a true business partner, you can rely on your M&M Service crop specialist to help you reduce risks, make smarter decisions, improve profits, and just make the whole business of farming easier. So, for a production partner that can bring solutions that work in your fields, get a hold of your M&M Service Company crop specialist today. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Sunny skies across mid-Illinois for your Thursday. High temperatures in the mid-80s with light southeast winds. Tonight, mostly clear. Low temperatures in the low 60s. And for tomorrow, Friday, once again, sunny skies, the high about 90. Your extended forecast for Saturday through Monday. Partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers on Sunday. Low temperatures in the low 70s, highs about 90. Right now at the Weather Center, the winds are calm, the barometric pressure rising. We have clear skies, 58 degrees on this Thursday morning. This check of color radar weather brought to you by M&M Service Company and by Carlinville Truck Equipment. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show is next.
Imagine how it feels to be the big 175. Sloan's and John Deere is celebrating its birthday to make things easier on you and your bank account. Enjoy 0% financing for 60 months on John Deere 1 Series tractors. The 1 Series start at $11,296. Offer ends July 31st, 2012. Subject to approved credit on John Deere financial installment plan, visit any of Sloan's 11 Central Illinois locations for details.
And in our farm news today, part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn. On Wednesday, we talked to M&M crop consultant Bill Brink, and we talked about how much help the rain was earlier this week.
Certainly, the rainfall that we had, which I've heard reports anywhere from 4 tenths to maybe an inch of rain, certainly has helped freshen things up, particularly, you know, the producers that planted double crop soybeans. This will certainly help them probably get germinated and growing. But, you know, this certainly isn't enough. You know, we certainly need to continue to have rainfall. You know, we talk about in corn, we talk about ear development that's occurring in the early stages around V6, V7. The number of rows of kernels around an ear is probably pretty much established then. But you talk about the length of the ear, and that usually doesn't happen until we get later, maybe the V12 or to V15 stages. That's when the length of the ear is determined. So, you know, the corn crop has held on pretty well, but we still need to have continued moisture for that ear length to expand and give us, you know, the number of kernels per row. And as I mentioned, that determines about V12 or V15, something like that. So we still need more rain.
But one thing that might be working in its favor is the temperature, because the temperatures really haven't gotten to the summertime levels of, say, the mid-90s and above yet.
Yeah, that's true. And whenever there's adequate moisture, usually there's not too much stress, even though temperatures do get pretty warm. So, you know, rainfall moisture, soil moisture is really the key. So, you know, even if we have the warm temperatures later on, but we do have adequate moisture, we shouldn't be under too much stress in those corn fields. And so hopefully that scenario will play out, that we'll continue to get some moisture.
Now, with the rain that we've had the other day, would that be a problem later on in that it will promote the growth of bugs?
Well, as far as insects are concerned, probably not. And when we talk about insects, about the only thing that I'm seeing out in the field is a Japanese beetle, which is coming a little bit earlier than normal. But, of course, everything this year has been earlier than normal. Normally, I don't see Japanese beetle until about the 20th of June, and they've been around now for probably a week or so. And when we look at that, you know, certainly we need to continue scouting these fields. And before too long, you know, the next few weeks or so, we're going to maybe consider putting a fungicide on the corn, particularly the early planted corn when it gets into the tassel stage or whatever, and get out and scout. So, you know, there might be a need for some insecticide to go in with that fungicide if, you know, the producer chooses to put on a fungicide. So, you know, there is a lot of speculation that Japanese beetle are going to be pretty severe. Of course, it was very surprising to me this year. You know, our entomologist told us that, you know, our cutworm moth flights were extremely high, but that didn't pan out. You know, we had reports of armyworm coming in, but that really didn't pan out here in this particular area. Now, there might be some localized areas, but in general, we've not had any insect problems at all. And even the entomologists, I think, are a little bit surprised about this. So the Japanese beetle are there, scout, and I would suggest that if you have any need, make sure you contact, you know, your M&M crop specialist, and he'll be glad to go out and help you scout the field to determine, number one, if you need a fungicide, and number two, if you need an insecticide in with that fungicide. So there's plenty of people out there that'll help you with that decision.
Does it matter how tall the corn crop is before you treat it with insecticide and fungicides, as you mentioned? I mean, can it be too tall?
Well, fungicide, the best time to apply a fungicide, of course, we had a window a few weeks ago. You know, there's a window of like the V4 to V6 stage, leaf stage, where some people were promoting fungicide. But to get the best value for your fungicide dollar, you know, I think it's still around tassel to R1 stage. So whenever you see the tassel and the R1 stage, that's the best time, the most efficient time to put on a fungicide. So, and then that's, you know, really important time, because that's when, you know, ear development is occurring, dry matter is being put into that ear. And so this is the best time, and as I mentioned just a minute ago, that, you know, if you're going to put a fungicide, you might want to get out and scout and see if Japanese beetle insecticide is needed as well. But to answer your question, in my opinion, the best time for a corn fungicide is tassel to R1 stage.
Talked about it a little bit before we started, the yellow leaves we've seen on some of these corn plants in some fields around.
That's pretty typical whenever you run into, you know, dry weather, dry soil conditions. And what I have seen, two different problems that I've seen in some of these fields. One is a sulfur deficiency, and you can tell a sulfur deficiency by a yellow striping of the plant. And, you know, our researchers tell us now that since the power plants are being cleaned up, you know, there's no longer the sulfur in the air that there used to be. So sulfur may become the next nutrient that, you know, is going to be limiting in some of these fields. So that could be a problem. One of the most common things I've seen is just the potassium deficiency. And that yellowing looks like the yellowing around the margin of the leaf. Now, look at the leaf very carefully. If you have the yellowing around the margin of the leaf, that's potassium. If you have the yellowing down the center of the leaf or the vein, the midrib, that's nitrogen deficiency. So what I have seen is the yellowing around the margin of the leaf, which indicates to me a potassium deficiency. Now, you know, you could have adequate potassium out there. Your soil test could show enough potassium out there. But keep in mind that potassium moves into the plant for what we call mass flow. In other words, it moves in with water, with moisture. So whenever we have these very dry soil conditions, obviously we're not having the water flow into the plant, and therefore, you know, the potassium is not moving into the plant either. So that's what's limiting in very dry soil conditions. The potassium a level in the soil might be okay, but just not enough water to transport up into the plant.
Okay. Anything else, Bill?
If you have any questions about, you know, some of the crop problems that we have, you know, M&M Service Company have, you know, numerous crop specialists, and they would be willing to come out and visit and walk the field, scout the field for any and answer any questions that you might have. So I would encourage you to talk to one of your M&M crop specialists, you know, if you do have any problems.
And that was M&M crop consultant Bill Brink. Exports of United States pork products remain strong, and we have this report from Joe Sheely of the United States Meat Export Federation.
April was another strong month for U.S. pork exports, keeping year-to-date results ahead of last year's record pace. USMEF Senior Vice President Dan Hallstrom has more details.
Well, definitely we're continuing to see some momentum in several regions. Mexico is one. We're seeing a growth of 19% up for the year and up 30% year-on-year in April. In the case of Mexico, we're starting to see a lot of our hard work pay off there. We're starting to see much improved awareness of the benefits of U.S. pork into Mexico. And, of course, with the higher beef prices and a considerable drought down in Mexico, we're seeing the wholesale beef prices go quite high. So that, of course, has helped pork as well. Some other markets that are really on a roll, Russia has started off the year very well. Hong Kong, China continues to be quite strong, and, of course, Central and South America. In the case of Central South America, this is a tune that we're going to see replayed time and time again. We're starting to get the awareness out there on the availability and the quality and the taste attributes of U.S. pork, and it's really starting to pay off.
The April beef export results did not reflect global reaction to the recent BSE case because that was not announced until April 24th. But unlike years past, Hallstrom does not anticipate a major impact.
Saudi Arabia has reacted and closed the market to U.S. beef temporarily, as has Indonesia. And there was some consumer impact in Korea. But in general, the response from our trading partners has been quite positive. They reacted the logical, correct way. I mean, we have a surveillance system in place which found a case. It doesn't change our OIE status. So really, it just talks to the fact that our system works and we should move on. And for the most part, our trading partners have done that, which is a good thing.
For complete export results and the latest on other trade issues, please visit usmef.org.
6:32 on this Thursday morning from WSMI, WSMI FM 106. The delegates at the 84th Annual Illinois State FFA Convention elected 2012-2013 FFA officers last night. The new president, 18-year-old Darren Riskadel of Leland, a member of the Seminoc Leland Sandwich FFA chapter. The Vice President, Dalton Hevner of Pearl and the Pittsfield FFA chapter. The State Reporter for next school year, Courtney Gersnecker of Carlisle, a member of the Carlisle FFA chapter. The Secretary, Joel Limestall of Waterloo and the Waterloo FFA chapter. And the Treasurer, Tyson Schulte of Milan in Rock Island County, a member of the Sherrard FFA chapter. Those are your state FFA officers for the coming school year. U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack urged Congress Monday to pass a new farm bill before the current bill expires at the end of September. The Senate voted last week to begin debate on its version of the bill. Officially called the Agriculture Reform, Food, and Jobs Act of 2012, the proposed Senate bill would reportedly cut spending by $23 billion over 10 years. less of a cut than the $33 billion proposed by the House. America's ethanol boom is stalling, and the effects are starting to spread across a farm belt that had grown accustomed to soaring growth. Annual U.S. production of ethanol more than tripled from 2005 to 2011, driving up crop prices and pumping money into rural communities. Now the ethanol demand is topping out, and fuel additive plants are closing. We'll keep you updated with the commodity markets throughout the day on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. The overnight crude oil market, 14 cents higher at 82.76. Brent crude, 29 cents lower at 96.84. And the August gold contract, $1.70 higher at 16.21.10. In electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, July wheat trading at 6.21, up a nickel. September wheat trading at 6.38 and a quarter, up four. July corn now trading at $6, up 7.5. September corn trading at 5.22.5, up 7.5. July soybeans trading at 14.04.5, down 3.75. August beans trading at 13.73.25. That's down 4.5. Once again, we'll keep you updated with the commodity markets throughout the day on both WSMI, WSMI FM 106. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn.